We continue our learning of the Nishmas Davi B'Menach Mishnah B'Chan Yaakov B'Brichos Aliyah. We are in Bava Metzia, Perek Yud, Mishnah Aleph. Habayis V'Haliyah, you have a case where there's a ground floor, known and called the house, and the Aliyah, which is the upper story that belongs to two different people, Shel Shnayim, Shenaflu, and now it collapsed, it fell down. So let's say, and we want to know about the stones. Shneim choklim ba'etzim v'avanim v'afer. They both split, the upper story person, the lower story person, will split the wood that fell, the stones, and the dirt. So if we knew who the stones belonged to, the stones of the wall, let's say, of the walls from the ceiling of the ground floor and above, that obviously belongs to the person who's in the aliyah. Those that are below that belong to the owner of the ground floor. But after the building collapsed, we didn't know which stones came from which part of the house. So that's why the Mishnah says, since we don't know, so all of these building materials are supposed to be divided. And if, let's say, the height of both of the stories are the same, so they can divide them equally. If one story, though, and that's what the Mishnah is saying, cholkim, and that would be done equally. But a cholkim also can mean, well, it depends. If one story, let's say, higher than the other, so it has to be proportional. How many stones are in your floor, on your story versus my story? That's how we decide. Veroim elu ha'avanim haru'uyos lehishtaber. Not only that, we have to see which stones are fit potentially to break. What does that mean? So if, let's say, you built this with bricks, so it could, if a building collapses, the bricks could also break along the, let's say, the foundation of the building breaks and then it caves in. So with the stones on the bottom floor, the house, the bias, that most likely are going to break, those bricks, those stones are going to break more likely than the ones of the upper story. So if you have broken bricks or broken stones, they're given to the owner of the ground floor, even though you don't know exactly where they came from. We can assume the broken ones are from the ground floor. That's what it means, because they're ruyos lehishtaber based on the way the building collapsed. The whole stones, the whole bricks will belong to the person in the upper story. But let's say you have a case where the building could have fallen, didn't collapse down and cave in, but it fell more outward. So the stones of the upper story, which obviously fell from a higher place, so they're more likely to break. So therefore, the broken stones, broken bricks are going to go to the owner of the upper story and the whole ones to the one of the lowest story. This halacha, the Bar Tanur makes this point. He says, we're talking about a case where the wall fell at night and they cleared out the stones immediately. And there's no way to know exactly how the building fell. There's no way to know. So that's why, so we have to make this determination on our own. But let's say things weren't cleared out, so then we have an evidence right there. We may be able to figure out where the stones fell from, and then obviously that value, those stones, that dirt, that wood will go to those people, depending on the upper or the lower story. Then the Mishnah says, "El yo echad makir mehen makir miksas avanav." Let's say you recognize. And he saw, these whole stones, they belong to me. That came from my part. Note, Lenny's able to take them. Now, that's a little bit strange. The Gemara and Daf of Kuftes Zion wonders why that should be. After all, he has no proof. He has no edim. I recognize those that forest should give them to me. So the Gemara says that the Mishnah here is telling us the following. Now, one of the, let's say the guy in the upper story says, I recognize these are my stones. So the one in the lowest story, let's say that was Reuven. Shimon says in the lowest story, he says, he doesn't deny it. He says, you know, I do recognize that some of those stones are yours, but the rest of them, but that I'm not sure about. So now what happened? So by the fact that he admitted to part of them, means that he's a modim and miksas. And in the case of modim and miksas, you have to take a shvua, but he can't take a shvua that the others are not yours because he's really uncertain about that. So what happens in such a circumstance, since he can't take a shvua, so those stones are going to be awarded to the one who claims that they are his because of this modim and miksas situation that we set up. And then the Mishnah says, Va'olos lo menacheshbon, which means these stones are counted for the person when we're talking about, oh, I recognize those whole bricks are mine. Obviously, he wants the whole bricks more than the broken bricks. But if that's true, that he takes the whole bricks, those whole bricks are mine. So olos l'necheshbon means they're taken into the calculation so that the other person is going to get an equal number of whole bricks as well. See, that so that it has to even itself out. We don't assume someone necessarily had more bricks than the other. He's just pointing out, I recognize that those are mine, and those are whole bricks, so that, okay, so you're going to give an equal number of whole bricks to the other person, and you're still going to divide things equally, but nonetheless, since this person, and based on the modi b'miksas, we give him the stones that he claims are his, there's a calculation that's made that the other person will get an equal number as well. Perek Yud Mishnah Beis Habayis V'Ha'alil Shel Shnayim. You have a case where the whole house, the whole building is owned by one person. The upper story is rented out. And the Baruch Hu says, what does it mean he rented it out? Important to know the nusach that he says. Aliyazu sha'alge al-gabe bayis ze ani maskelach. I am renting you, I'm leasing you, this upper story which is on top of this house. And that's going to be important as we'll see in a moment. Nifchasa ha'aliyah. So let's say what happened, the upper story fell in a little bit. It's a part of the upper floor. Now fell into the lower floor. And the upper floor obviously is also the ceiling of the lower story. So here you have, it's a little bit difficult for the person to live because there's a hole now in his floor. So, and the hole we assume has to be significant, which means it has to be at least four by four tefachim. Okay, but and if it is, what do we do? Then a balabais rots el sakin. So normally we would assume that the landlord who's living in the bottom, who's renting out the upper story, now the upper story has a hole in the floor, he would fix it, but he's not interested in fixing it. Then so what does he do? Hare Baal Aliyah Yored Vidar Lamata Chisakinos Aliyah. So the one of the upper story, since the Baal Abayis is not repairing it. So the one who lives in the aliyah, who's renting out, says, okay, good, I'm coming and living with you. He's allowed to move in with the guy in the lower floor, bring all his stuff there, bring his bed there, all his clothing, until the upper floor is repaired. Now, why does he have the right to do that? Because of the language that was used in the lease, in the rental. Aliyah zusha al-gabe bayizane meskalach. I am renting you this aliyah, this upper story, which is on top of this house. Now, why do you add on top of this house? If I'm renting you this aliyah, obviously it's the upper story. No, the answer is that the house is subservient, so to speak, to the aliyah, which means that if the aliyah is not available and the landlord is not going to repair it, the tenant has the right to come in and below. So that's what it means. Are bal aliyah yored v'dar lamata chisakin lo asali until he fixes it. Rabbi Yossi Omer hatachton nosein es hatikra v'ha'elyon es ha'ma'aziva. He says the owner of the house, the one who lived below, he owns the whole thing. He has to supply everything that's needed to rebuild the floor between, which is the ceiling, right? His ceiling and the floor of the upper story, except the ma'aziva. Ma'aziva is the plaster. You have that from Masech HaSukkah as well. That the tenant has to supply, assuming he wants the floor to be plastered. He'll live without it being plastered, but if he wants it, he has to do that himself. Why? Because Rabbi Yossi believes that when we put plaster over the floor that divides this two stories, so that, what's it doing there? It's there to, its primary purpose is to keep it level. So if it's to keep it level, that's not the landlord's responsibility, that's the tenant's responsibility. He wants a level floor. Well, then you have to pay it for yourself. Why didn't the Tanakhama make this point? The Tachton gives the Tikra, the Elyon, the Ma'azeva, that the Elyon, the one who lives upstairs, he's the one who has to pay for the plaster. Because Tanakhama believes that the purpose of the plaster is not to make the floor level, but rather to make the ceiling strong, to reinforce the ceiling. So whose responsibility is that? That's the one who lives below. So it's the landlord who lives below. When he replaces the ceiling, he has to take care of everything, including the plaster.